Thank you, Barney and Vicki, for another opportunity to share God's word. And tonight, I would like to open up with a quote that really strikes the heart of tonight's sharing. And it goes like this. The wonderful thing about praying is that you leave a world of not being able to do something and enter God's realm where everything is possible. He specializes in the impossible. Nothing is too great for his almighty power. Nothing is too small for his love. That's Corrie Ten Boom. I'm sure many of you know who she is. She was a wonderful, wonderful Christian writer. She did many, many wonderful things during the Holocaust and saved a lot of people. And I thought that that quote's going to be really appropriate for tonight's sharing. Well, you know, over the past year, I've been sharing from time to time about a little girl named Abby. So tonight, I'd like to put the pieces of that story together. And, you know, as Dan Meeker so wonderfully shared about a reason, a season, and a lifetime, and Paul Harvey's the rest of the story, well, I don't have the rest of the story, but we can see where the story's heading. The story just oozes of God's grace, his mercy and kindness, his love for his kids, and the power of prayer and his faithfulness. Well, Abby's a little girl who lives next door. She has some issues. She has several complex conditions, mental, physical disabilities, such as cerebral palsy. She's 13 years old, soon to be 14. Well, about a year ago, things began to turn upside down for Abby and her mom and dad. Abby began becoming very violent to her parents, to the point of having to take her to the ER. She was also self-harming herself. Mom and dad, they were afraid for their safety and for Abby's. The ER would do what they could, but they'd send her home after a couple of days and then she'd act up again. Now, the police had to be called in from time to time. There are no services, no medical, psychological facilities to help her. There was no help for this kid. No one was listening to the parents' pleas. But here comes a let God moment. Mike and Sue, that's their mom and dad, they kind of knew what me and Vicki are all about as far as being believers. You know, we speak to each other, you know, being good neighbors to one another. Well, Vicki got a call one day from Sue asking, do you think we could have a Bible study sometime? That's God. He says, wow, of course. Thank you, Father. Next day, Mike comes to the door wanting to know if we could have it tonight. Of course, we said. So we went next door to their house. We listened. We talked. We prayed for the situation. We declared God's deliverance in Abby's life. Well, 304 days later, this story has evolved into a wonderful testimony of God's faithfulness, his love, and the power of prayer. Well, we began fellowshipping each week. We would share the word. We listen. We talk. We pray. We listen to past conference calls and, you know, Sunday fellowships. For the first 3 months or so, Sue would come to our fellowship crying. Something was always happening with Abby in the ER or with the staff. She wasn't being treated with any respect or compassion. Abby was kind of like in the ER limbo. No place for Abby. Well, after a couple of months, we started writing letters advocating for Abby, for somebody to open up their eyes and see the need. Well, Mike, Dad, he wrote a very powerful letter that got the media's attention. Thank you, Father. It made the news. It made the TV. But there was still no facility that could meet Abby's specific needs, even out of state. If she had to go out of state, you know, that wouldn't be so good. You know, traveling, it just wouldn't be good. Facility after facility all kept denying her. She has all these disabilities, and no one had the kind of staff or the specialized staff to take care of her. So we continue to thank God for a place for Abby. We want the best, and so does our Father. Well, a place called Treach Falls pops up after many months of denials. I think it was probably about 6 months. Mm-hmm. She had denial after denial. This place kind of pops up, and it looks like it's a perfect spot for her. Only 4 years old, about 80 miles from home, but there's only licensed for 17 beds, and it's full. Nobody usually leaves these places. They're all permanent residents with many of the same issues and disabilities that Abby has. So we wrote more letters to those who would listen. We said, hey, if money's the issue, we'll get it. If we need another room, we're going to build it. What's it going to take to get the job done? We continue to pray, and we just continue to thank God. You know, when we were doing this, I thought of the red drapes and the power of believing and how God wants to meet our needs. It didn't happen overnight, but a special team was put together to help navigate through all the red tape and everything else that's involved. It's no small chore to get this done. Well, guess what happened? An 18th room was made available. Special staff was put on. And I'd like to read the front page of the Portland Herald Express from October 6th. It was just a few weeks ago. It says, wearing powder blue stitched pajamas, Abby Bedard smiled broadly and thrust her arms out to the point of to point at dozens of family, friends, and staff at the Reddington Fairview Hospital. Her supporters clapped and hooted as the 13-year-old rolled her wheelchair out of the hospital's emergency room into a van that would take her to a new home and a new beginning. The happy scene was long overdue. Abby had been stuck in the Skowhegan Hospital ER for 304 days. She resided in a small, sterile exam room, not designed for patients with Abby's long-term mental, developmental, and physical needs. Abby was kept nearly a year away from school, separated from the community. She spent holidays in the emergency department. She didn't get to hang out with her friends, eat dinners at home with her family, or do any of the typical activities that other teens enjoy. Her parents, Sue and Mike Bedard, because they visited her often, and the hospital staff, they did what they could, but it didn't change the fact that Abby was living in the ER because there's no one else she could get the care that she needs and is entitled to under federal law. Young parents like Abby, who languished for months in hospital emergency departments, are part of the reason that the U.S. Department of Justice filed a federal lawsuit against the state. Kind of remember that, because at the end of this story, that will really play in the part. In September, saying Maine is violating the Americans with Disabilities Act by failing to provide adequate services to disabled children on the Medicaid program. DOJ and state officials are discussing what happens next. It's outrageous that it took so long for Abby to be placed in her new home at Tree 12 House in Orno, said Nancy Cronin, the executive director of Maine's Developmental Disabilities Council. This woman was wonderful. Cronin advocated for Abby and her family and said their struggles is an example of how the state is failing many disabled children and their families. He is recommending that a suit of comprehensive reform for the Maine Health Department and Human Services changes that also could help the state settle the federal lawsuit. Portland Press Herald Maine Sunday Telegram highlighted Abby's story of being stuck in the ER in July. The Bedard said that they believe that the story may have helped spur action as state officials were more responsive in finding a long-term solution. After Abby's story was published, the looming federal lawsuit may have played a role too, and the work of the advocates like Cronin certainly helped play to keep the pressure on, Sue said. On Thursday, as Abby finally left the hospital and moved to her new home, the family expressed a combination of joy and pain from all that they went through over the past 10 months. Sue Bedard got a telephone call from her daughter on the day of the move. Abby called me at 6 a.m. laughing hysterically, Sue said. Biggest thing is that this is going to be a positive. We may be able to spend Christmases together. She'll get to be on a basketball team and even on the Special Olympics. Sue wiped away a tear, acknowledging the hardship and the bittersweet feelings. We had to move mountains to get to this day, Sue said. Mike said he's happy and sad at the same time. It was 10 months of thinking, is it going to happen? Is it not going to happen? Or when will it happen, Bedard said. And he said it's still difficult to accept that Abby won't be living with them in their Bingham home anymore, despite knowing that that is what is best for Abby, himself, and his wife. It was tough for these guys, but they stayed faithful. Abby has complex conditions, including cerebral palsy, seizures, intellectual disabilities, suicidal ideations, and difficulty controlling the behaviors, including hearing voices, self-harming herself, and assaulting her parents. After several assaults on her father, Sue and Mike called 911, and Abby had to be taken to the Reading Fairview Hospital for just a few weeks before Christmas last year. The Bedards, they adopted Abby when she was a toddler from the Department of Health and Human Services, knowing that she had cerebral palsy and was born into difficult circumstances. They loved this little girl so much. They were able to get surgeries for her that allowed her to walk and also receive some in-home health assistance. Abby often uses the wheelchair, but she can walk with a walker and with braces. But Abby's unpredictable behavior The assaults will often occur with no warning. Abby is growing and getting stronger. Became overwhelming and resulting in the needing ER care. And then later, a transfer to a residential facility. Tiffany Cromer, she's the chief nursing officer at the hospital, said it's unfortunately becoming a norm to have behavioral health patients stay for longer than needed at the hospital emergency rooms. This is not the right place for these patients, Cromer said, but nevertheless, the hospital did the best it could for Abby, providing behavioral health, physical rehabilitation, and nutritional and emotional supports. It was quite a feat in a chaotic ER environment to provide comprehensive care, Cronin said. Before she left for her new home, Abby said she was looking forward to living somewhere besides the ER. I'm so excited to make new friends and get my Xbox back, Abby said. After an hour-long grand ride, Abby and her parents pulled into the parking lot at Treats Falls House in Orono, operated by Independence Advocates of Maine. Catherine Thibodeau, she's the executive director of Independence Advocates, said the goal of Treats Falls is for their clients with intellectual and developmental disabilities to live meaningful lives and to live as independently as possible while getting the care they need. It's very individualized, Thibodeau said. We're focused on them living in the least restrictive setting, but we are able to support Maine's people with complex needs. The rustic-looking group home is in a tree-lined, quiet neighborhood. It's absolutely beautiful. There are community rooms, common kitchen, a dining room, a living area, but the wood-trimmed facility is designed to look like a home, not an institution. The sign outside of her room reads, "Today is a new day." Abby gasped as she saw her room decorated with Stitch bedsheets from the Lilo and Stitch series, completed by a large stuffed animal sitting on a nightstand. "Look at all this space," Sue said as she hugged Abby. "I think all your things are going to fit in here. This is your new home." What a story. What a sweet, beautiful story of seeing God working and how faithful he is. Doesn't Proverbs tell us that to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not into our own understanding? In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Now, we say it all the time, but you know, God may be early, but we know he's never late. This is a whole new journey for Abby, for Mike and Sue. God has just opened up so many doors of opportunity for her and her parents. Now, there's a lot of backstory to this big story. And like that song says, it does look like somebody prayed. It fits so well with this story. By the way, 3 weeks have passed. Abby's doing, she's doing very well. There's been a couple of bumps along the road, but she's doing very good. She's happy, she's blessed, she's comfortable, and adjusting to her new home. She's in school, she's in a social, loving community and environment. She still faces a lot of challenges that she's going to overcome. You know, guys, we see her 100% healed, physically, mentally, and spiritually. Just look what has happened because of prayer over these past 10 months or close to a year. I know that there's a lot of people had to come together to make this happen. We got to remember that God has no hands but our hands and no feet but our feet. And he's got no mouth but our mouth to speak. She has people around her that truly care and are so compassionate, kind, and supportive. People who do truly care and are properly trained. Mom and Dad, well, David, Justin, they recognize what has happened and how God has been in every detail, every step of this chapter of their lives. And we can all see how faithful, gracious, and loving our Heavenly Father is to his kids. No matter what the obstacle is or what the giant is in our way, God is always able to overcome anything, anytime, anywhere. So guys, thanks for this opportunity to share a little bit about God's amazing grace on our Abby. Oh, by the way, my understanding is a bill is being written to help children like Abby, those that are lost and forgotten, just kind of pushed away into the system. And I'm told that this bill is going to be called Abby's Law. Ain't our God cool? Man, he's so cool. Well, thank you, Father. I want to thank you tonight, God, for this great opportunity to share your word. I want to thank you, Father, for your kindness and your grace, your faithfulness, Father, and how you never let us down, no matter what the situation is. And thank you, Father, for the lives that we can recognize all the wonderful things that you do and that you've made available to us. And Father, we thank you right now for that gift of Holy Spirit that you've given us. God, thank you so much for everybody on the call tonight. I thank you, Father, to bless them, keep them safe, keep them healthy. Father, heal any hurts, heal any anxiety or fears that they have. We thank you for that, Father. We just thank you so much. And Father, we thank you for our country tonight. I thank you for strong, able leaders who stand on the rightly divided word, those that stand for truth, God. So we thank you, God, for your hand of blessing, your hand of protection over them. And we thank you, God, that this election is going to be a fair election. We know that it's an important one, Father. So, God, we love you. We praise you. We just can't thank you enough for all you do and that you continue to do in our lives. And we thank you, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.